Hello, and welcome to another episode of the DebtWired podcast. I'm Maria Meskin, Head of Primary Markets at DebtWire Senior. Today, I'm joined by Mohammed Damak, Managing Director, Global Head of Islamic Finance at S&P Global Ratings. Today, we'll be diving into a topic that's dominating the Islamic financing world at the moment, the proposed introduction of AOFI Sharia Standard 62. Mohammed, thanks for joining us. It would be useful to start by getting an overview of how the Sukuk market has performed so far this year. Now, if we look at the Middle East in particular, what is your assessment, Mohammed?
Hello, Mariam, and thanks for having me. The market is doing well. We have maintained our expectation of volume of issuance between $160 to $170 billion in 2024, following the good performance that we observed in the first half of the year. Total issuance reached $91 billion, and that's almost stable compared with the same period last year. However, what we have observed is that the local currency issuance is down, and the foreign currency issuance is up by 23.8%, with Saudi Arabia and the UAE being the main contributors. We think that the improved visibility of the medium-term trajectory of the interest rate, as well as the high financing needs from the core Islamic finance countries, including Saudi and the UAE, have benefited foreign currency issuance. In Saudi, for example, the country is implementing its economic transformation program. And in the UAE, the growth, particularly the non-oil growth, remains strong. Local currency issuance is down, particularly in countries like Turkey, for example, where the interest rates have increased quite a bit, and the UAE, because we have seen lower federal and other sovereign issuance. But the good news for the local currency denominated issuance is that the Saudi, the sovereign, is issuing again in local currency after the drop that we have observed last year. And I guess this is related to the improving liquidity situation in the banking system there. So overall, the market is doing well.
As you and I have previously discussed, the Sukuk market, as we know it, could be on track to undergo serious change over the next year. AOFI, the Accounting and Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institutions, last year published its draft of Sharia Standard No. 62. This, if adopted as proposed, would alter the credit profile of Sukuk from an asset-based structure to an asset-backed one. Mohammed, could you walk us through what exactly Standard 62 proposes and how it will mark a departure from the conventional dynamics of the Sukuk market?
Right, thank you. Standard 62 is the Sharia standard that the AOFI is proposing to govern the issuance of Sukuk for the countries or the organizations that have adopted the AOFI standards. This standard was proposed by the AOFI in late 2023, and the market was asked to provide feedback by the end of July. The deadline was extended twice by the AOFI. And we think that if the standard is adopted as presented, we think it could disrupt the market because it will transition the industry towards asset-backed Sukuk instead of Sukuk where the repayment are based on contractual obligations from the sponsor, or what the market refers to as asset-based Sukuk. This is likely to be a 2025 or 2026 story. As we saw with previous standards, there's generally a time lag between the time where the standard is approved and where the market is asked to comply with the new standard. Also, I think that Standard 62 is unlikely to disrupt existing Sukuk because any change in the contractual obligation of existing Sukuk is subject to soliciting investors' consent.
Having spoken to market participants across the spectrum, from sell-siders to buy-siders to advisors, there are still several question marks about what the potential adoption of Standard 62 could mean for parties involved with Sukuk issuance. Perhaps you could walk us through some of the implications on the issuer side and the investor side, Mohammed.
Let's start with who would be affected. I think the standard is likely to impact the AOFI adopters, for example, issuer in some of the GCC countries, and also issuers in non-AOFI adopters that target investors in these countries or investors that are subject to the AOFE standards, which means basically a large part of the Sukuk market. Now, on the impact, in our view, the transfer of the assets to the investors could result in three main risks. Number one, Sukuk could become more expensive than conventional issuance because issuers and or investors will have to incur the cost of asset registration in the name of the Sukuk holders, for example. Second potential risk is that investors may be exposed to asset-related risk, such as, for example, the risk related to the confiscation of the assets or the nationalization of the assets, or what is commonly called in the Sukuk as total loss event. And here, investors could also be exposed to the market value of the assets, and sponsors may use that as an argument to skip their remaining payment obligations. For example, if the value of the underlying assets drop materially. And the third risk is that structuring Sukuk may become much more difficult because in some countries, foreign investors cannot own some assets. For example, if you look at countries like Saudi Arabia, foreign investors cannot own real estate assets, which makes it more difficult to structure Sukuk using real estate assets if we were to be in a standard 62 environment. And this is a complete change to the market convention, and at best, it would lead to an increased complexity of the Sukuk as instrument. And at worst, we could end up with a higher fragmentation of the market between the AOFE adopters and the non-adopters. And also, some investors may decide to leave the market, as we saw with other Sharia standards, like, for example, Standard 59.
One theme that's come up within discussions is how pricing dynamics will be impacted. Mohammed, you touched on this briefly. Can we delve a bit more into what the pricing dynamics for a typical Sukuk under Standard 62 would look like? Because on one hand, we might have issuers demanding to price these Sukuk lower because of the additional costs and fees that are involved for them. And on the other hand, investors might also demand a premium because they're having to do more due diligence on the underlying assets along with other things. Can you share your thoughts, please?
I think it will depend on the final form of the Standard 62. And essentially, I think if you look at the pricing of the Sukuk, if investors were to perceive that they are exposed to higher risks, they would probably ask to be compensated for that. And that could result in higher pricing of Sukuk.
Another issue that's arisen is rating methodologies. If we shift the focus to asset-backed Sukuk instead of asset-based Sukuk, surely rating methodologies would also have to change to reflect a different level of risk. Would you agree?
Yes. Today, we have a specific criteria that we use to rate Sukuk. The criteria is available publicly. It's extremely transparent. And we outline very clearly the five conditions that a Sukuk has to achieve in order to be rated at the same level as its sponsor rating. And those conditions include having sufficient contractual obligations for the repayment of the principal and the periodic distribution, that the contractual obligations are irrevocable, that the sponsor takes the obligations to cover the costs related to the Sukuk, that these obligations are senior and secured, or whenever they are subordinated or hybrid, we combine that criteria with our other criteria, like the hybrid criteria, for example. And more importantly, that the risks related to the underlying assets, we come to the view that these cannot disrupt the payment to the investors, and specifically the risk related to total or partial loss event. Now, if we were to shift from a Sukuk where the repayment is underpinned by the contractual obligations of the sponsor to a Sukuk where the repayment is underpinned by the performance of the underlying assets, we would certainly have to analyze the risks and the performance of the underlying asset in order to come up with a view on the creditworthiness of the instrument. And that's more what we refer to as structured finance sort of methodologies.
Historically, the adoption of new Sharia standards has impacted issuance volumes, at least in the short to medium term, as market participants acclimatize and resolve teething problems. That was the case when Standard 59 was introduced by OFI a few years ago. What is your outlook for Sukuk issuance in 2025 if 62 is adopted as proposed?
Right. Again, it will depend on the final content of Standard 62, and it will depend on the timeline for the adoption. So if, for example, the adoption is pushed to 2026 or beyond, most probably we would see neutral impact on the market in 2025. However, if the adoption is for 2025, we can see some impact on the Sukuk market. And what we saw with previous standards is that, I mean, when you have a significant change in the way Sukuk are structured, typically the market takes some time to adjust. And the key question with Standard 62 is whether issuers can still issue Sukuk as fixed income investor and not as an equity-like investor or not as an instrument where the investors would be solely exposed to the risks related to the underlying assets. And if I take the parallel with other standards, I think Standard 59 has just formalized an obligation that was already there, which is to keep a certain level of tangibility in the underlying assets to avoid that Sukuk are perceived as pure debt. And in the past, and this obligation was present at the inception of the Sukuk, now this obligation with Standard 59 became an obligation that should be respected throughout the lifetime of the instrument. However, the value of the underlying asset is fixed at the inception of Sukuk, and there are no revaluation mechanisms, at least for now. Therefore, Standard 59 was not very disruptive to the market. So the lawyers and the Sukuk structures have figured out a solution, and the market has continued. Now, 62 is different again because it proposes a complete overhaul of the market convention. And we think that if it is adopted as is, the standard will be disruptive, at least in the short term.
Mohammed, thank you for sharing your views. That was a comprehensive overview of Standard 62's impact on the Sukuk market.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to the audience for tuning into another episode of DebtWired. If you'd like to hear more from this podcast, please download and subscribe to DebtWired on your preferred streaming app. Thank you once again.